that, and also if you, for example, if you're in the one of the leagues that might have a number of teams in the top 15, so every time you beat a team in the top 15, you know your pairwise value is increased by 1.2, especially if you beat them on the road. Like Miami went in to beat Omaha on the road this week, so they get more points for beating a ranked team like that on the road. So that really helps their pairwise. So in the NCHC, they have a lot of opportunities. Those bottom teams, or I shouldn't say bottom teams, but teams that are below 500, to make up ground, because they seem to always be playing. If you play a St. Cloud and win, or North Dakota and win, or that are in the top 15, or you know, then it helps your pairwise rank and really boost it up. Where our league currently, if we beat a good team on the road right now, like we go and beat Bowling Green, for example, they're not in that top 15 or 16 in the pairwise, so it doesn't really help us at all, you know, which is unfortunate. So so in some leagues have more of an opportunity, I guess I'm saying, Dirk, is to get bonus points and help their pairwise. And that's all because of how they've done previously and determining how you figure out your RPI and your pairwise.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, though. Let's say we go in and beat Bowling Green, right, both games. And it helps us, obviously. But
yeah, it will help us.
Doesn't help us as much as
it would. But not as lot, yeah.
But then they go and run the table and end up in the top 15. Do those wins then factor in as...
Right, yes.
And where they ended up? Okay.
Yeah, they'll help you. And that's like I'm saying. So Miami this weekend, they went and beat Omaha twice in Omaha. That really helps them, you know, because they were a top 10 team, you know. So, I mean, that really helps their pairwise.
Sure.
So even though they're a couple games below 500, you know, they're ahead of us in the pairwise, right?
But I guess
we're six games above 500. So,
but I guess what I'm asking is, and when it's all said and done,
sure.
If Bowling Green ends up in the top 15, will those wins go back and then the factors in? We just beat a top 15 team, but it was not at the time they were a top 15 team.
Does I know what you're saying.
Yeah,
it all does. It all factors in, and that's just like your record against your head to head competition or common opponents. You know, so. You know, we played, let's say we played Minnesota State. We did well against them. So when they go and play Minnesota, for example, if Minnesota State wins those games, that helps us, you know. So that'll go back and factor in, even though it hasn't happened at this point.
I get you. Okay. Here's a question for you, Coach. Coach, can you talk about the scheduling for the next year or two? Are we going to see Duluth here in Houghton?
Coach Sandlin and I have talked more than any coaches. So we've got the icebreaker in 2 years. So that won't be the fall of 16, but the fall of 17, we're over in Duluth. And we're currently working on home and home with them. We have games next year, and so do they. So I'm not sure if that's going to take place. It's more, we want to do it, and Scott wants to do it. Coach Allen wants to do it. It's just about finding the right dates. So the dates that correspond between their schedule and their other games and our games. So sometimes you have to move some things around. So we're working on that and have been, and we want to continue that relationship and those games. We like the games. We like playing Duluth here, and I think they enjoy the games too, because they're good games, they're clean games, they're hard-fought games. You know, there's no baloney going on. They're just real good hockey games. So, so do we? Currently we don't, but we're working at it.
So you mentioned home and home. Is that a possibility where we'd actually play here and then drive there the next night?
Well, we've talked about all sorts. Yeah, a couple different scenarios. Whether if we just play two games next year, for example, if we just decide we're going to play two, could we play a home and home? We thought we could play whether Thursday, Saturday, something like that, or even if it's over two different weekends. We've talked about that. We've talked about, well, you come here for two, I'll come there for two. And a lot of it depends how many road games you have. Like next year, we go to Michigan. We go to Michigan State. So I'm not interested in adding a lot of road games, you know, to that. The following year, I believe we have Wisconsin coming here and we have Arizona State coming here. So that, and then we go to the icebreaker. So there's a lot of good scheduling going on. So it's just trying to match it up where 1 year you're not doing all your games on the road and then next year you're doing them all at home. We're trying to get some balance in there. And that's one of the biggest challenges I think that I have is just scheduling. Just trying to make it all work.
So we're at Michigan and Michigan State next year.
We are, yes.
And then and what other non-conference besides the Great Lakes Invitational?
That's it at this point.
Okay.
So we have 28 games, league games, six non-conference. That's get your to your 34.
Right.
But since we go to Alaska next year, we do have extra games. So I've been sitting on those extra games. There's a possibility we have a tournament we can go to. Okay. Just after the GLI next year, similar to this year. So we're just waiting to get some confirmation on that. And then we've talked to a couple of different teams, like Duluth is one of the teams we've talked to about maybe just playing two games and doing a home and home, or, you know, because they've got the same issue, I think, next year. They got a lot of road games, so they're not interested in more, you know, and I get it. So Scott and I said, well, maybe we can meet halfway and just at least get one home game each. And then, you know, 2 years down the line after the icebreaker, do the same thing.
And we have both the both Alaskas next year, right?
So we have both. Yeah, we're on that. We have four more games
if we wanted to.
If we want. So, and there's been a lot of talk, and I've talked to a lot of teams, and there's some possibilities, and so we'll just see how that all plays out.
Well, we kind of answered the next question already, but are there any non-conference games scheduled for next year? We already answered that, and the next follow-up says, I would imagine that you, coach, are trying to schedule as many good teams as possible to help us with the pairwise points that are available.
Well, you are, and that's why, you know, next year we got Michigan on the schedule again, and, you know, Michigan State hopefully be, you know, improved and a good team, and, you know, Duluth's always usually a pretty good team. Actually, they're a real good team. So any of those teams, you know, we've talked to Notre Dame. We've talked to, you know, Minnesota. We've talked to North Dakota. We've talked to St. Cloud. So there's a lot of conversation going on. We just have to make something work.
What about Arizona State and the Desert Classic, coach? I know you brought that up, that we've already been asked. Is that true in 2 years or no?
Well, we've talked about that. I mean, they've scheduled next year's tournament, and then going forward – They had mentioned they're going to continue to do it, and we were wondering if, you know, we would be interested. So I brought it up. I said we had a, you know, I thought it was, they did a great job just how they ran the tournament, and then obviously our alums had a great time out there. So it's something I'd be interested in doing again. So, we've had conversations. We've talked since the tournament, and so we'll see where that all goes.
Next question, coach, and we've already talked about Bill Terry. One of my favorite players to watch growing up, other than Mel Pearson, of course, was Bill Terry. Whatever happened to him, and did he play professionally and coach anywhere?
Billy Terry played professionally,
yeah.
You know, and he is, I don't think he coached anywhere, though. He might have coached his daughter, but Billy's a great guy. Obviously was elected into the Husky Hall of Fame here a few years ago. It's a real honored to be back here at that point and see Billy and his wife Kathy, and their daughter was a great hockey player at the University of Minnesota. I don't know if you knew that.
No, I did not know that. I had no idea.
Went to Minnesota and one of the few Canadians
really?
On the team, and
wow.
She had a great career there. But Billy played some pro hockey, bounced around a little bit, and got a little cup of coffee in the NHL, and then moved back to the Toronto area where he's from, and you know, runs a business there and has done very well for himself. But I don't believe, other than maybe his daughter at some point, got into any coaching or scouting, you know, anything like that. Great player, though. One of the best players that I've ever, skill-wise, been around. I mean, he was smooth, too, and he could skate, and his hands and head were really, really good.
That cup of coffee you're talking about with the NHL, was that Minnesota?
I believe it was, okay. Yes. We'd have to go
vaguely
to...
Vaguely remember that.
Yeah, we'd have to go to HockeyDB and look it up.
Yeah, but, in fact, I'm trying to do that right now for you. But, he was a great player.
Well, and I think this day and age, he probably would have a better crack at playing than back in the day where, you know, the clutching and grabbing and obstruction was a lot more prevalent than this day and age where you see some guys like a Johnny Gaudreau at Calgary Flames comes to mind, you know, Boston College, Hobie Baker winner, who was a heck of a player. I had Brendan Morrison at the University of Michigan, and Brendan was in a long career in the NHL and very similar to Billy. Maybe not as dynamic a skater as Billy Terry was, but just the head and the hands and the vision and the compete.
Bill Terry, 5 games for the Minnesota North Stars.
I
was able to find it. And played quite a bit for Kalamazoo in the eye. So, I just... Just finally able to find that. All right, well, great questions. I'm sure we'll have a couple more trickle in here. And if you have a question for Coach Pearson, still have time to get it in. It's DJ@themix93.com. We'll take a short time out. Be back with more of the Mel Pearson Show. We'll talk a little bit about what Coach and his staff were doing on the off weekend for the team when we come back here on Mix 93.
Sushi Tuesday at the Library Restaurant and Brew Pub, now in its 7th year. Every Tuesday from 4 till 10 p.m., the sashimi-grade fish is flown in overnight from the world-famous Honolulu Fish Company in Hawaii, featuring the highest quality and freshest sashimi-grade fish available worldwide. Sushi restaurants all over the globe buy from the Honolulu Fish Company. The Library Restaurant and Brew Pub has featured this fish for 7 years. Get the same fish you'd get in sushi restaurants in Chicago, New York, and LA. LA. Stop in for Sushi Tuesdays at the library. The Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and the Memorial Union on the Michigan Tech Campus.